submitted. I'm only going to be ruling on the one issue today. There will be additional briefing as the parties have gone through in their closings, but the issue that I want to rule on today is, has to do with whether or not there was probable cause for the search just based upon the activity of the canine search. And after listening to all of the testimony very carefully and considering the standards that are set forth specifically in the Tenth Circuit cases and in the federal case, Federal District Court in Utah, I'm looking to those cases because I could not find a Utah case on point. So that's where I'm referring to. I am finding that, in fact, there was probable cause for the search following the dog search. And specifically, let me go through what I believe the standards are with respect to that. And I'm referring, to a certain extent, to the reasoning and rationale in the United States versus Hall. This is Utah case, Utah District Court case. I'll give you the site. It's 2005 U.S. District Lexus 37047. Essentially, in that case, and again, I'm not relying on this as being the seminal case. I think this is just a nice summary of the state of the law. I'm not saying this is a controlling case in any fashion, but I think it's a fair statement based upon my reading of the other cases of what the state of the law is. And of course, the standard probable cause standard is set forth in Gates. Probable cause means there is a fair probability that contraband or evidence of a crime will be found in a particular place. In the Tenth Circuit, and I'm quoting the case now, in the Tenth Circuit, an indication by a trained and certified narcotics dog that drugs are present is itself sufficient to create probable cause. Although there may be circumstances, and I'm again still reading from the case, although there may be circumstances that would bring the reliability of a specific narcotics dog or a specific dog search into question, those appear to be limited and rare. The Tenth Circuit has suggested that, quote, with a canine, the reliability should come from the fact that the dog is trained and annually certified to perform a physical skill. When the annual certification process involves actual field testing and grading of the canine's drug detection skills, the canine's reliability is sufficient for a probable cause determination, absent some circumstance that justifies a more complete examination of the canine's skill and performance. In this particular case, although the defendant would claim that there are other circumstances that would call that into question, I do not find those circumstances exist. And in fact, I believe that the certification that the dog has gone through the state of Utah, complying with Utah statute. This is a statutory case, and the standards are set forth in I believe Title 53 of Utah Code Annotated, that in fact the dog was in fact certified annually and went through regular training. And I'm basing my testimony as well on Sergeant Salas's testimony, where he went through the amount of training he has gone through with the dog, and it appears to me that the dog was in fact a well-trained dog. So accordingly, based upon, and my first basis for the decision then is that there is a certification that the dog was trained and certified to meet the training requirements in the state. And so that is one independent basis for my decision. Okay? And I say independent basis because each of these bases that I'm going to call out form an independent basis for my decision. And I will also point out that taken as a whole, all of these factors, I believe, provide a basis for my decision under the totality of the circumstances. So it's both each as an independent basis and taken as a whole, all right? The second basis for my decision has to do with Defendant's Exhibit 5, and I think that is a very critical piece of evidence. Specifically, as I have gone through that evidence, it would appear to me that there are a total of 48 non-training events that are referred to in the document. Of those 48, the dog did not indicate or alert. It just says no indication, I believe, in those situations. And so there was essentially, the dog did nothing on 21 of those occasions. So 21 times the dog says there's nothing there. There are 27 times where the dog indicated or alerted. Of those 27 times, there are only 4 times that the dog essentially, where no contraband was found. In every other case, there was either a contraband found or an admission that the passenger admitted use, or there was something that was found that would indicate that drugs were there, be it paraphernalia or a glass case with an odor on it, something to that effect. So essentially, of the 27 times there were only that the dog indicated in 2007, there were only 4 occasions that the dog indicated and nothing was found. I think Trooper Salas pointed out that there may have been some reason for the dog indicating that might have caused an odor to be there, but I'm going to presume for now that the dog just missed. Okay, I'll make that presumption. I'll make the presumption that on 4 occasions of the 27 that the dog just missed. But that doesn't ignore the fact that then there were 23 of the occasions that the dog accurately had a reason for stopping. And the court finds that to be very good reliability. That's approximately 85% of the time that that dog is indicating for a reason where either drugs or an odor of drugs or an admission of drugs are used. And so I think that is a very critical document showing the reliability of this dog's search and his recent search this year. His recent record in terms of how well he's done in essentially a non-controlled environment even. These are the times that the dog has been successful. Now, if I compare that specifically to Sergeant Salas' testimony, and I acknowledge this was not scientific, it was his best guess, something to the fact that I think he said 1 in 20 cars might be expected to have drugs in them, something to, I believe that was the nature of his testimony. You know, if I say 1 in 20 might have drugs, and yet I see in this particular instance that of the 27 times the dog actually indicates, 23 times drugs or some indication of drugs are found, some evidence of drugs are found, that is, to me, very high reliability. And so based upon that, that is an independent basis that in this case, this dog is reliable. Now, the third area that I want to talk about then had to do with the testimony of Mr. Nicely that was attacking the credibility of the dog and the search and the videotape. And I will talk about my views of the videotape in the context of this basis. Let me first make a finding that I do not find Nicely's testimony to be persuasive. And there are a number of reasons for that. First, with respect to his explanation of the video, I simply did not see things that he claimed that he saw. He claimed, for example, to have seen the officer do something that would cause the dog to alert on the window. I looked at that tape a number of times when it was presented today. And I really tried to focus to see, all right, is Sergeant Salas doing anything with the dog differently when he approaches that window that might cause the dog to alert? And I couldn't see anything there. And the fact that Mr. Nicely says that he was able to see something or find something in that, quite frankly, it really strained my view of looking at that video. I couldn't see it there, and as a consequence, I didn't place a great deal of reliability on his testimony when he said things there that weren't, I simply was not able to see. In contrast, I thought Sergeant Salas' testimony regarding this was quite persuasive. He explained exactly what happened through that entire process. How he initially went out, the dog was excited initially just to be out of the car, went to the front of the vehicle, he got the dog's attention essentially, and then put the dog to work going around the vehicle. And after he'd done that, I saw the dog alert on that window. I say alert once and probably indicate a second time, but alert on that window twice. And essentially those were the two times of the past. The first time the dog was essentially just running to the front. I didn't see the dog really even searching the vehicle during that first time. And he was not being handled to search during that first time. It was after he got the dog stopped, got the dog's attention, and then put into work going around. And it appeared to me in looking at that video that Sergeant Salas was working the dog all the way around the vehicle. It's not like he just went to that window and stopped. He was going around the vehicle, okay, working with him in the same manner all the way around, and yet it was at that location of the window where the dog alerted both times, or alerted once and indicated probably the second time. I would point the speed with which that was taking place as well. If Sergeant Salas had some type of hidden cue that he was putting off with respect to that window, it was, from my perspective, impossible to see in that video when he got near the video, because he was moving at about the same speed all the way through. I didn't see him doing anything different with respect to that. Now, the next issue is essentially Mr. Nicely's claim that the dog was that he was absolutely certain this dog was not well trained. And quite frankly, I have to take with a grain of salt any expert that comes before the court and testifies with absolute certainty that this dog was not well trained, particularly based upon that video, and particularly in light of the history that this dog had, where I've already indicated I find the dog to be reliable. And yet he's telling the court with absolute certainty that this dog was not well trained. And quite frankly, that taints his testimony. He also, I believe, had tainted testimony in one very critical area. And that is when he did not particularly care for the fact that the dog had alerted on Exhibit 5 to situations, as I say alerted, indicated on Exhibit 5 where the passenger had admitted use and was questioned about that on cross-examination. He then embarked upon an area in which he had absolutely no expertise. It has not been established in any fashion that he has any expertise with respect to determining the issue of witnesses giving false testimony and the circumstances. He basically took off and said he'd read an article somewhere, and he therefore used that as a justification to discount a passenger's admission of drug use. And I find that to taint severely his credibility with respect to that issue. He's testifying beyond his area of claimed expertise, and in an area in which he would have no expertise, in order to simply satisfy his claim in this area. And quite frankly, that affected his credibility with me. I don't find his statistics that he says this dog has only a 60% reliability to be valid, quite frankly, and I've already explained my rationale in terms of looking at this. I also did not care for his blanket assertion, quite frankly, where he indicated that dogs in Utah are not well-trained. And the basis for that was essentially how he believed dogs needed to be trained. But I didn't see anything in terms of any literature or other criteria that he relied upon that would indicate that somehow the dogs in Utah have not been well trained. And again, it was this blanket nature of his assertion that I thought affected his credibility. So those are the basis primarily for why I did not find him credible. I think there were other things he said, such things as the fact that the dog needed to find something in 3 seconds. He implied that, or a few seconds, very quick, that the dog should have alerted on that. Quite frankly, in the context of this case, I didn't find that to be extraordinarily helpful, useful, or credible. So those are the basis for my finding that his testimony simply was not helpful for the court. And if it was, in fact, a battle of the experts, I did not find his testimony to be particularly useful for those reasons. So based upon that, I do find that there was probable cause, based upon the use of the dog, to search the vehicle. Now, that's not the issue of the warrantless search, and I'm not handling that at this time. But I'm simply talking about the probable cause issue based upon the search of the dog. All right, are there any questions on that decision?